From KLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Santa Clara.
Santa Cruz.
Union City.
Hayward.
San Francisco.
I'm from Fremont.
Yo, I'm San Jose, just downtown.
Coming up, we'll take a tour of Oakland's Fruitvale neighborhood from mobile food vendors.
Nobody wanted them in their districts, actually. You know, so that's the reason why you see the highest concentration in Fruitvale.
To a local center that helps day laborers and homeless folks.
And I think a lot of immigrants go through that depression and confusion of why did I come here? What am I doing and what is my worth? So I think it's a very difficult place to be invisible.
And we'll hear from the CEO of the Unity Council, which has done a lot of work to transform the neighborhood.
We're a safety net. We are advocates. And so as long as I know the Unity Council is here, I know it'll never get that bad.
Stay with us for Cross Currents. During the past half year, a group of our reporters had an assignment. Spend time in Oakland's Fruitvale and San Antonio neighborhoods asking residents, business owners, teachers, students, and nonprofit workers what is happening in the community. It's not a typical approach to reporting. We didn't have a specific story in mind. Instead, we wanted to find out what stories neighbors wanted to tell. And we heard a lot.
I was a victim of violent crime. Two gangs chasing each other, and I got hit in the city truck. I had to have both my hips replaced. So these are the things that's happening every day.
We are only as strong as our weakest person.
People who have very little to give, but when there's a need, they're there giving. And I think that's the real sense of community.
Our reporters asked about the economic downturn, and many people were feeling the effects. But we also heard things like this.
You got them good days and them bad days. That's all I'm really trying to tell you. Everybody right now, we're all going through it. It's not a recession. Everybody's depressed. You know what I mean? It's a depression. Everybody is depressed because, you know, not everybody is happy like how they used to be like before.
Our reporters also found neighborhoods full of hope.
The place was very colorful. The whole neighborhood is very colorful. So many murals and so many stands and markets selling fresh fruits and vegetables. Just everything was so colorful. Even the houses, you know, there would be a green house and then a pink house, yellow house, brown house. So I think everything's so vibrant and it really shows how vibrant the community is.
I would say creative in the ways that they like find happiness.
It's tight-knit. It's very active. It seems like people are really working together to handle the difficult issues that are facing the neighborhood.
And that brings us to our first story, which takes us into the heart of Fruitvale. Oakland is known for its food trucks, which serve everything from tacos and tamales to West African cuisine. The city's largest concentration of mobile food vendors, a predominantly immigrant population, is in Fruitvale. These micro-businesses provide owners low overhead and the opportunity to become successful entrepreneurs. But if running a small business isn't hard enough in this economy, vendors now face an additional challenge, armed robbery. As Esther Honig reports, crimes against mobile merchants have spiked in the last 6 months.
On the corner of International and Fruitvale Avenue, Carina Flores, owner of Soledad, is selling tamales, pupusas, and tortas. She has a bright pink cart. Flores tells me she begins her day by preparing the food at 4 a.m., opens her cart by 7 a.m., and closes by noon. As the manager of the family business, Flores says she is here every day of the week with an occasional Sunday off.
We've been here more than 12 years working in this place. The founder was my mom. 12 years ago when we arrived in this country, and since then she's worked in her own business, serving the community and selling her pupusas and working.
Flores and her family immigrated here from Mexico, and like many people who start up a mobile food operation, they were drawn to the prospect of a stable income and the opportunity to invest in a business of their own. Unlike brick-and-mortar establishments, mobile food vendors pay a much lower overhead, making it accessible to people from many income levels.
You could feed your families, you can buy your homes, you can send your children to college.
That's Shelly Garza, the owner and manager of La Placita, a family-run business in Fruitvale that supports and organizes small businesses and mobile food vendors.
I love my food vendors. I have people that dehydrate. They do beef jerky. Oaktown Jerk is here with us. I have a new lady that does kale, dehydrated kale.
Garza's mom founded the center in 1998 at the request of merchants.
And what she was able to do is associate all of the fruit vendors, which were all competitors at the time and really didn't get along, I guess, but she brought them together and taught them that in unity there's a strength.
Over the past 13 years, they've created a network of 55 mobile food vendors, but it was not a simple process.
It was a struggle because the city was not really very welcoming, to be candid.
Oakland City Council member Ignacio de la Fuente says in the 1990s, the streets of Fruitvale were chaotic. Vendors used shopping carts instead of push carts. Some prepared their food at home, sometimes in unsanitary conditions. De la Fuente says the streets of Fruitvale were a mess as vendors fought each other and authorities for territory and the right to sell. If these small businesses were going to make it, someone had to step in and give them legal standing.
We crafted an ordinance that would allow them to operate because the problem they were having, obviously, was that there was no permits, there was no system, no process established. So together we can establish that process. And they allowed these very hardworking families, individuals, you know, started with their little carrito of fruits and then the taco trucks. And obviously now then some of them own restaurants and businesses that are more established and kind of change really the face of the Fruitvale.
And things are changing again, according to Shelly Garza.
We have always known that there's been assault, but now it's getting to the point that it's more violent than it's ever been.
Because mobile food vendors operate on the streets and often stay open late, they have less security than restaurants. Also, most deal exclusively in cash, making them easy targets for robberies. That's earned them a nickname.
They were thought as walking ATMs. That sent a fire in my belly like I have never had. I was very angry because I heard that a month after Gabrielito was killed.
Garza is talking about Gabriel Martinez Jr., a 5-year-old boy who was killed in January. He was at his parents' taco truck on International Boulevard when a stray bullet hit him during an armed robbery. In the past year, armed robberies have become more frequent, and Garza says almost all her vendors have been assaulted. So they are taking action.
Bueno, con eso, first of all, I want to thank everybody for being here tonight.
At a recent community meeting in Fruitvale, Anna Martinez, with the Oakland Police, is talking with vendors about safety.
Today, we have a very special meeting. I'm going to go over the purpose, but this is a special meeting today.
Martinez is the Oakland Police Department's neighborhood service coordinator. She grew up in Fruitvale and works as a liaison between the local community and OPD. She says the type of crime is changing.
There may be an increase in the amount of crime, but they're also really concerned that there's more guns being used when there's these robberies. You know, whether it's either pistol whipping or, you know, guns and more violence involved in robbery. So it's that level that I feel that has really, you know, kind of shocked the community right now.
Many vendors have begun arming themselves as a defense against these violent robberies, while others are willing to pool together the money to hire private armed security officers. Martinez says there's an obvious reason for the spike in crime.
I'm not an economist, but, you know, I've seen the effects, whether it's the banks foreclosing on people's homes or just people having a hard time finding jobs. And I just feel like, you know, Fruitvale is just kind of a microcosm of what's going on nationally.
Because of budget deficits, over the past 3 years, Oakland has had to lay off nearly 200 officers. In 2011, Oakland officials say Fruitvale had the most reported robberies in the city. Currently, there are 6 to 8 officers on patrol in all of Fruitvale on any given day. Back on the corner of International Boulevard at Soledad, the threat is still very real. Carina Flores says that she's now been robbed twice.
There's more crime. There are more offenses. There are many ugly things. And this is a very big obstacle for us because this is how we make a living and we like to work. It's just that we're risking our lives.
Flores tells me she used to open her cart much earlier to catch the breakfast rush at 6 a.m. But one morning, her cart was robbed and she lost all the cash in her register. But, she says, the money doesn't really matter.
You carry the trauma that has affected you. From everything that you've lived through, you remain in fear and you lose trust.
To combat the effect high crime levels are having on business, the mobile food vendor community, together with La Placita, has been working to install cameras on carts and trucks. The Oakland police are encouraging people to report all crimes and suspicious activity.
We're doing very well. We pay our taxes, we pay our permits, we do everything right, and with God's blessing, we can continue doing this. If the city and the police support us, we can continue with our work and serve the community.
With over 350 businesses, Fruitvale is bustling with economic growth. It's a resilient neighborhood. Owners and residents say that they are determined to stand by their community during this most recent downturn. For Cross Currents, I'm Esther Honig.
Reporter Esther Honig is a student at Mills College in Oakland, where this series was produced. Esther says what surprised her about the documentary process was how hard it was to get people to open up.
There was really a sense of people being very defensive, of kind of trying to protect themselves and being very suspicious of people like myself who were coming around asking questions. And it was a very strange occurrence. I didn't understand why there would be that sort of secrecy, and it made me feel a little suspicious about what was happening. But it kind of cast a light on maybe a denser situation, a more complex situation of what's really going on, of people who are not wanting to speak out because they're afraid of any sort of repercussions that could come their way, of people who are kind of trying to protect themselves.
And Esther says people had a lot of concerns.
People really jumped to very serious conversations very quickly. So conversations got very intense. People are very passionate. And I saw a lot of like active, very passionate characters, people with some really serious concerns on their shoulders and who've had a lot of time to think over what's really happening and what's going on around them.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. Today we're sharing stories from Oakland's Fruitvale neighborhood. Oakland poet Claudia Castro Luna has spent the last 2 years compiling a book of poems about her city. She shares this one with us.
International and East 14th, Tacos Mi Rancho. International and 22nd, Tacos Sinaloa. International and 24th, Tacos Mi Gloria. International Boulevard, asphalt corrido of carnitas and pupusas de chicharrón, ICE quotas, remittance receipts. International and 34th, Tacos Mar y Tierra. International and 54th, Tacos Los Amigos. Boa de carne asada, boca de lengua frita. International and 58th, Tacos El Torero. Ojos de tamales verdes, census projections, future vote tally. International and 80th, Flor de Jalisco, and heart, corazón de rábano, red and crunchy and pulsing with the energy of all of Guadalupe's children who are many. Muchos, son muchos, muchos somos. International and 88th, Taco Loco. On each corner, a four-wheeled sentinel guarding the memory of home. International and 90th, Tacos Unión. Stand in line. Home comes wrapped up, calientito, inside a tortilla. International and 98th, Tacos Mi Mexico. And the warm, the bitter, seeps in. International and 98th, Pupusas y Tacos Las Hermanas. International and 100th, Tacos.
That's poet Claudia Castro Luna reflecting on food vendors in Oakland's Fruitvale. That neighborhood has a history of welcoming new immigrants. At the turn of the 20th century, the area was full of orchards and beer gardens that served as an attraction to San Francisco residents. Today, you can see colorful markets full of produce and piñatas or eat delicious tacos at one of the area's many food trucks. Day laborers wait on the street corners eagerly looking for any type of work. There to help them is the Street Level Health Project. As Maddie Fowler reports, its mission is to provide help and hope to the most distressed members of the community.
When you walk into Street Level Health Project, you hear languages from all around the world. Mongolian, Spanish, Cantonese. The walls are covered in piñatas, flags from over 27 countries, and pictures of community gatherings. Men are sitting around a table sharing stories and jokes.
Most of the folks that come here tend to be homeless, recent immigrants, unemployed folks, and underemployed.
Amy Lamb is program director of Street Level, which is celebrating its 10th anniversary. It helps provide healthcare, food, and work for some of the most marginalized citizens in the neighborhood. Even though Street Level now serves both men and women, when they started, they only helped men.
I think men often feel very isolated and ashamed, right? It's something you don't want to talk about.
Lamb says getting men to accept social services is not an easy task.
If you don't have a job, if you're not having a way to bring money and food to the table, that's really hard to ask for those things.
Especially for those who have just arrived in the United States and who are from more traditionally masculine cultures.
And I think a lot of immigrants go through that depression and confusion of, why did I come here? What am I doing and what is my worth? So I think it's a very difficult place to be invisible. Undocumented immigrants are invisible. Homeless people are invisible. Formerly incarcerated people are invisible. There's so many people who don't speak English are invisible. And so all these communities are silenced by, you know, the system that we live in.
At High Street and Coliseum Way, a crowd of men in heavy lumber coats and hats are on the sidewalk, looking for a day's work as the Street Level van pulls up. The men hurry over as outreach workers bring coffee and breakfast to share. They've been here since 7 a.m., and many will stay until dusk, hoping for any type of job opportunity.
Sometimes right here, 60 people, 50.
Yeah.
How many people get jobs every day, I think?
Maybe 5, 6, 8 people. Yeah, this month is too slow working.
A man who wants to remain anonymous tells me maybe 10% of the guys waiting on any given day might get work. And, he says, sometimes those jobs turn out to be dangerous or illegal.
There is no insurance, there is nothing. I mean, in here, if you got the injury and stuff like that, that's it. You cannot work anymore.
Sometimes the guys can't get work for weeks at a time. Joel Aguilar is the director of development and community relations at Street Level. He says some employers take advantage of day laborers or mistreat them.
It's an economic issue. A lot of times the jobs that are out there that are accessible pay less than minimum wage.
They also don't even get paid at all sometimes. 50% of Oakland day laborers have worked on a job and not received any money for it, according to the National Day Labor Survey. Like many of the people he serves, Aguilar is an immigrant to the U.S.
My dad, being a farm worker, was getting paid about $5 an hour. My mom cleaned houses, and so there was times when she had to stop working with a certain employer because they would sexually harass her. So up to maybe like 3 years ago, all my family was still undocumented.
Aguilar says his experience with the injustices that can come with being an immigrant inspires his work today.
That's the struggle that a lot of immigrant families face on a daily basis, with having come with a lot of dreams and aspirations to the U.S. and confronting the realities of being part of a labor force that is highly exploited, and that with that comes a lot of health issues.
5, 6, 7, go! 1!
That's why Street Level provides job training and healthcare on site. They even sponsor exercise classes. Today's class is following a kickboxing video. A group of 15 people are trying to copy the moves. Amy Lamb says this is part of Street Level's wellness strategy.
They can't afford a gym membership and they can't walk around the block because they might get shot. Unfortunately, that's the reality of the Fruitvale neighborhood.
Street Level's exercise room doubles as a cafeteria. 3 days a week, they serve lunch to about 25 people.
We got a chiote with chicken and potatoes and carrots and green beans. And also we have a rice, white rice, and some beans.
And the center provides bags of groceries as well.
Just mainly
vegetables, canned goods. We give, depends on what we have available.
To provide for more serious needs, Street Level offers free health care 3 times a week, according to Amy Lamb.
So in our clinic, people come who haven't seen a doctor in a long time, some folks who've never seen a doctor. Usually the way it works is people who don't have insurance kind of wait till the end, right? Because you can't otherwise afford to go to a doctor.
Providing health care was the organization's initial goal. When they first began, they actually administered health screenings on the street. But, Lamb says, it's come so much further since then.
So this is our 10th year anniversary, you know, and I think the theme that I've been kind of playing around with in my head is called Reinvented Dreams, : The Triumph of the Immigrant Spirit. And the reason why I've been playing with this theme is because of all the things that happen when immigrants come to a new place.
Resilience is a huge part of the triumph. Amy says she is surprised every day at how strong and good-hearted many remain even through great difficulty.
People who have very little to give, but when there's a need, they're there giving. And I think that's the real sense of community. Another, you know, our mom outreach worker, Don Francisco, he always says that it's better to share than to have some of us not have anything.
A lot of people in Oakland are coming to that same conclusion. In these tough economic times, people are finding new ways to come together to solve some of the city's toughest problems. And Street Level is doing that too. By providing stability and essential human needs to the members of their community, they're offering their own solutions. For Cross Currents, I'm Maddie Fowler.
Street Level is having a dance-a-thon fundraiser on June 2nd. We'll put a link to that information at our website. It's kalw.org. Reporter Maddie Fowler is a student at Mills College where this series was produced. Here's how she describes the reporting project.
Well, I think this experience really allowed me to strengthen my skills of just talking to people that you don't know at all and just approaching them and really getting to know, like, complete strangers, essentially, and making those kind of connections. I felt that something really that stood out to me in the Fruitvale neighborhood was the sense of neighborhood, like, the sense of know your neighbors. Everyone seemed to know each other, and I would see people at San Antonio Park, I would see people on International, and then I would see them at Street Level lunch. And it was kind of fun, because it really started to have our spot in the community almost.
Maddie says what surprised her was
how open people were about just really intimate things about their lives almost. Like when I asked people, you know, their immigration story, they would go into deep details and tell me things that I was surprised myself by that I was hearing.
Reporter Maddie Fowler spoke with many recent immigrants for her story, and one theme that emerged was the sense that many are invisible in our communities.
Ramon crouches, hugging the sliver of a shadow cast by the lamppost at 64th and International.
Claudia Castro Luna is an Oakland poet.
He stares ahead, arms and legs an angle of repose, the eyes flickering in the yellow stupor of midday like votive candle wicks. I call him Ramon, though I don't really know his name. Julio, Juan, Jesus, Ramon. It could be any of them. None of them. All of them. My father, my brother, my uncle, my cousin, me. Groups of Ramons stand at select corners, stand in puddles of bitter and sweet, and in their hearts, mockingbirds sing siesta songs.
That's Oakland poet Claudia Castro Luna, and this is a special edition of Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan. We're sharing stories from the Fruitvale neighborhood in Oakland. One of the organizations with deep history in the Fruitvale is the Unity Council. Founded in 1964 to provide support to families in the neighborhood, the center has expanded into a national model for community development, spearheading the creation of the Fruitvale Transit Village and growing to work with about 12,000 low to moderate income clients a year.
We now have services as far-reaching as Solano County, and we actually are continuing to expand beyond, but the Fruitvale will remain always our headquarters and our base.
Gilda Gonzalez is the CEO of the Unity Council. I asked her to talk about the history of the council.
We're so very proud that we kept our heart. The same heart that called this group together in 1964 is what inspires me on a daily basis to come to work, and as well as my staff. We're here because of service, and are continue to be inspired by that. The issues that we still face, I think, are interesting, and they are evolving. The demographic shift unto itself have necessitated for the voice of Latinos to increase, and underserved communities, I'll just say that in general, to advocate for more parity, because the inequity between services are increasing. In addition to not only our demographic shift, all the cutbacks that are being faced at the local, regional, state, and federal level, I mean, the penny is shrinking by the day, and the demand is not shrinking. And so we see that on a daily basis.
So when you talk about inequities, can you be specific for us?
Sure. So, for instance, in our neighborhood, we are facing roughly about a 50% dropout rate. And so for us, that feels like an inequity to us in terms of what is the condition of our schools, our neighborhood, our economic development factors that lead young people. And by and large, I'm talking about late middle school, high school, young people leaving. And what are the factors that are impacting that? And so when you start peeling back the onion, you start seeing, oh, well, a family needs that young man or young woman to help, you know, pay the bill. So they're working, or they need something else that doesn't allow that young person to continue their education. And so that unto itself is inequity, in that our young people don't have an equal chance as others to finish a basic high school education and look at a brighter future. Even police services. Out of the three police areas in the city of Oakland, Fruitvale sits in Area 2. We are the lowest in terms of dedicated resources to this police area. And so we fight and always are arguing against that disparity. And we are constantly told that the crime stats reflect a higher activity in Area 1 and 3, and therefore they get more resources. But for us, we know that historically our neighborhood is underreporting and other issues that impact that, because we have possibly mixed citizen status and other issues that people are almost intimidated or frightened to report crime. So we don't really accept the statistics per se, but that from our experiences in living and working in this neighborhood, we know that we need to have a better allocation of services and support to our neighborhood. So those are just two examples of what I'm saying about why the need for an organization of ours is just as relevant as it was in 1964.
And you mentioned budget cuts and sort of the shrinking penny, and that's more true today than it was even a year ago, right? So how are you dealing with that?
So we've been very successful at leveraging every dollar that we get. And whatever dollar we get, whether it be private, corporate, foundation, or government, we then turn around and are able to leverage that. We've been very successful at demonstrating a record of producing results. And so when we go forward and say, listen, we've received this much to create jobs for young people, people have a level of confidence in that, one, we know what we're doing, and we have a good basis for why we're asking for what we're asking for. And so that is critical. And I think that when you do this kind of work, it isn't enough just to want to do good. You really have to have good practices of your organization and really build up your organization to be a very transparent and ethical organization. And I am very proud of what we've built here, because we really are committed to the results.
So speaking of what you've built, one of the big hallmarks of the Unity Council is the Fruitvale Transit Village. So can you explain what that is and kind of, it went through a little bit of a rocky period and now seems to be at full capacity and doing really well and is kind of a national model, right?
Thank you, yes. Well, essentially, I was handed the keys in January 2005.
Let me let everybody know that Gilda took over as CEO of the Unity Council, and we're speaking with Gilda Gonzalez, who took over as head of the Unity Council, CEO of the Unity Council in 2004.
So everybody loves the ribbon cutting, which happened in 2004. But the village did not get complete until 2009. And that we actually really should have had a new ribbon cutting celebration because it was, as you said, 100% occupied on our residential, and also this year was 100% occupied on our retail and commercial. So it is an amazing story, and we did it. Most of these projects are done by big corporations or bigger entities than ourselves, but we did it. And I always tell people who come for tours that we were the underdog in all of this, but we had big dreams, and more importantly, our commitment to this project was unshakable in that this was our home and we were not going to fail. And that was just a tacit truth that we accepted and operated under. So I caution people when they say, oh, we want one. I always tell them, listen, you've got to have everything in it because there are going to be the dark years. And it is only that commitment and love that will get you through those. And we certainly are a testament to that.
That's Gilda Gonzalez. She is the CEO of the Unity Council. I'm Holly Kernan. You're listening to Cross Currents, and we're talking about the Unity Council's history here in the Fruitvale. And what are some of the actions that you take? What are, just specifically, what are some of the things, the ways that you're serving this community?
We run a very extensive Head Start and Early Head Start program. And as of this year, we're serving 640 children. And that is pretty significant. So and along with that 640 children is families. And part of our services are training leadership to the parents so they can be even better citizens in their community. We also are talking about our workforce development efforts where we run a one-stop career center downstairs in one of our buildings. And we're serving clients. When I started, we were only serving 400 clients. This year alone, we're going to be serving almost 2,500 clients. And in our home ownership center, we have several components of that. We do financial fitness. We do a first-time homebuyer programs. And we do foreclosure counseling. Obviously, that's unfortunate that that number has grown tremendously, but we like to focus on the other two pieces of that, which is financial fitness and really building and shifting the conversation. And even for people who are low income, to really talk about how to be debt free and to create financial freedom for themselves and their family, and then prepare themselves, if home ownership is an option, how to do that in a very sane and methodical manner.
Yeah, well, and you've got a lot of predatory lending, so-called predatory lending, the subprime market that really targeted a lot of Spanish-speaking people and Black and Latino communities specifically.
Absolutely. People didn't know what they were signing. And our mantra here is if it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. And we try to educate people. And sometimes, unfortunately, the truth is difficult. And we are committed to the truth. And we are the first to tell clients that they are not ready for home ownership. And sometimes that's not what they want to hear from us. But there's certainly, as you said, enough predators out there who don't care about the truth and will sell them the home in spite of our best advice.
And you mentioned that maybe the issues that you're dealing with are greater now than when the Unity Council was founded in 1964. So that could get somebody kind of depressed. Wow, after the civil rights movement, we're still grappling with many of the same issues in many ways deeper budget cuts to social services, et cetera. What, in that context, what gives you optimism?
What gives me optimism is that the Unity Council continues to stand, and it stands in a really great place. And regardless of what we are thrown, continued declining economy, tensions out in the street, that I know that we are here for our community. We're a safe haven. We're a safety net. We are advocates. And so as long as I know the Unity Council is here, I know it'll never get that bad.
Gilda Gonzalez is CEO of the Unity Council in Oakland. And we'll continue with our series on Oakland's Fruitvale and San Antonio neighborhoods on Wednesday, when we'll hear about two schools.
Youth are very resilient, and they come to this space still with a love of life and still with a love of learning and a love of each other, and you know, just kind of trying to figure out how to make sense of this crazy world that we've kind of provided for them as adults.
That's Wednesday at 5 on Cross Currents. You've been listening to a special series focusing on Oakland's Fruitvale and San Antonio neighborhoods. The series was produced by students at Mills College in collaboration with KALW Public Radio. Thanks to reporters Shani Aviram, Stella Marie Carpio, Missouri Colley, Maddie Fowler, Karen Gordon, Esther Honig, and Tamisa Rutledge. Special thanks to advisors Ingrid Sire-Ochi and Roy Chan. Chris Hoff engineered the series. Casey Miner is our senior editor. Martina Castro is our managing editor. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. You can hear all of our stories at klw.org. That's also how you can subscribe to our podcast. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan.